This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This is a previously recorded episode live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, we're on.
Welcome to the Undercard, everybody. Episode 164. A lot has happened in this past weekend. We covered a little bit of it on a little special intro show on Saturday. If you guys tuned in, we greatly appreciate it. But we're going to recap all that again so that it's an official episode, episode 164. So we're going to start off the night talking about the Hoist Gracie, Ken Shamrock. Which is just huge news in the MMA world. We're going to also have our friends from a different network, Caged in the Cave. They're going to be joining us at 8 o'clock. So if you guys want to stick around with that. We'll also be covering the Donna Frio fights from the Joe Louis Arena, which if you were there, which we've ran into a lot of people that were there, quite a good fight card. So we greatly appreciate everybody that was out there on Saturday. And then we're going to obviously talk the Ronda Rousey fight. It happens versus Holly Holm this Saturday. We posted some video on our Facebook. If you're not Facebook fans with us yet, go to facebook.com/radio undercard and check it out. It was basically Holly Holm's knockouts or kicks and stuff like that. So we're going to dive into that a little bit. And then we're going to talk a little bit of boxing. Tonight, if you get a chance, the 30 for 30 Chasing Tyson is on. Of course, Mike Tyson still very relevant in boxing, even though he's been retired for a long time. And then we'll start talking a little bit more Canelo Cotto as we move along. So, but first, our condolences go out to our fellow family member, Marv, who lost his grandmother earlier today. He is not with us today. So, Marv, we're thinking of you. Have all the blessed thoughts from the Undercard organization. So deeply sorry for your loss. I'm joined by Jimmy.
Weather.
Rochelle's working the board, and we have Liz as the ring girl. So we should have a pretty good show. Let's start off where we were talking on Saturday. Big news in the MMA world.
Yep.
There is no MMA world if Hoist Gracie doesn't come along and explodes onto UFC.
Or UFC as we know it currently.
Correct.
Right. Because, I mean, UFC, the name existed before Hoist Gracie. Because I don't think he competed until, what, three?
No, he competed one. He won one.
He done, okay, UFC I wasn't won. Sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So they came up with, UFC as the name before. But like we said before, that was back when it was literally discipline versus discipline. There were no weight classes. A sumo guy could fight a 300-pound sumo guy could fight a 85-pound kung fu guy. But because of people like Hoist Gracie, jiu-jitsu became kind of one of those things where, like, hey, wait a minute, this is, I can win against bigger guys if I know this discipline. And I think that made it what we know today as mixed martial arts. Because of people like him, the ground game particularly. Otherwise, it would just be kickboxing.
Well, yeah. For you guys that are boxing fans but are listening, so basically the Gracies had something called the Gracie Challenge in which they challenged anybody that thought they could beat the jiu-jitsu system. And from there, kind of the UFC idea came to Hoist's brother and Art Davey, who we hope to have on the show soon. Art Davey also came up with this. He has a book called Is It Legal, which as soon as everybody reads it in the room, we're going to try to get Art Davey on. But Hoist, who made MMA not made it, but like made people watch it. I told this story on the old network in which basically a friend of mine, a guy by the name of Jason and Brandon, when I was in high school, they had a legal video of UFC, and it was on a tape, and I never gave it back to those guys, and I deeply apologize about it. But I watched the VCR fight and watched Hoist Gracie go through all these competitors really quickly in one night and take care of business. Well, that was in 1993, and we are now in 2015, and Hoist Gracie at 49 years of age is going to be going against Ken Shamrock. This will be the third fight for them. Like I said, when we were on our show Saturday, we were unsure the terms of the deal because right. Kurt Angle came out in very wrestling fashion and said, you know, I want to fight Ken Shamrock, but it has to wait until February 19th.
I want you, Shamrock.
February 19th.
Right.
And then Hoist comes out in the gi, and we have Hoist Gracie versus Ken Shamrock 3. Yeah. This is an open weight fight. It's been approved by the Texas.
And that's what – because we were talking about that on Saturday. We were like – how is this actually going to work? Because Shamrock fights as a heavyweight, and Gracie fights as not a heavyweight. And we're like, is Gracie going to move up? Is Shamrock going to come down? What are they going to do? And then, like you said, they just announced that it's an open weight fight. And so Shamrock's going to be fighting at what, two?
Well, I think he walks at like 205 or something like that.
So
Hoist can be anywhere
down
from 170 to 190. Probably.
Right. So let's say that Shamrock comes down to like 195 and Gracie moves up to 180.
Well, it's open weight, so they don't really necessarily
right,
have
saying,
to do anything.
They don't have to do anything, right. But that's still, that's crazy.
So I decided to have an interesting, different look at it. From Saturday, we talked about these greats getting back in the cage, and I didn't know how I felt about it at the time, except that I would be able to see Hoist Gracie in person. I was able to see Mike Tyson fight in person at the Palace of Auburn Hills. So to actually see Hoist fight in person, I thought it was like, you know, it's almost like God saying, hey, here's your last chance maybe to see Hoist Gracie fight in person. And so I was excited from that standpoint, but that's just not a good take on MMA. So I started to think about it, and I started to make a list of friends of mine that are MMA and people that I know in the industry and that are fighters, and I decided to think who could possibly beat Hoist Gracie or beat Ken Shamrock. And when I came up with that, I talked to Jimmy briefly about it, that my list was actually pretty small. And using that theory that some of my people that we follow in MMA probably still couldn't beat Hoist Gracie, I'm okay with them fighting. If they're both healthy, even though Ken Shamrock's 4-11 in his last 15 fights, I'm still okay with it. Bellator is obviously going a wrestling route here, Jimmy, in the fact that they're taking superstars, aging superstars, and in promoting them out there. They got kind of this wrestling feel to it right now.
Mm-hmm.
With that announcement, I mean, that's straight out of WWE's playbook there.
Right.
And so this is not going to be a pay-per-view event. This will be February 19th on Spike TV. Their ratings will be through the roof, because people will want to see where Hoist is still at. We've seen Ken Shamrock recently, and he didn't look good against Kimbo Slice. He couldn't get the rear naked choke and all that stuff. So it's going to be interesting, because I know Hoist is going to take this serious, and I assume Ken is going to take this serious. And we have an open weight bout, so yay.
It should be interesting. I mean, and like you said, when we were talking about it before, I honestly can't think of one fighter out there who could out submit Gracie. I mean, even at his age right now, I can't think of a single fighter who could out Gracie. I mean, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's gonna the biggest thing is gonna be what happens when it starts, when they're standing up. Gracie's obviously gonna try to take it to the ground, but I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Would you buy it if it was a pay-per-view?
Probably not.
Because of price, or just because the fight has no
because of blur? Price. Okay. Well, I mean, if it was a pay-per-view but they were only charging like $40, I would buy it. Mm-hmm. But you know, not a normal price pay-per-view. No, I wouldn't. That's too steep.
Okay.
I would find it online later.
Right. So Bellator was strategic about it. This we talked about this Saturday, in that there's no question that they announced it during Ronda's big week in Australia. And this is a big moment for UFC because this is their superstar once again. And they don't have her for many fights. I don't know. So this is speculation, and there's no source behind it. I just have a feeling that Ronda is on a few more fights with UFC, and then she's going to explore movies more,
yep.
And she's going to explore wrestling entertainment,
yep.
And she's going to take a lot less time with it. That's just speculation. And we talked about the gap between Ronda and anybody else, and really – she could make the kind of money that she's probably making at UFC with other things, whether it be movies and stuff like that. The gap is so big for Ronda and anybody that wants to compete against her that it is almost a waste of time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but is it a waste of time for – I mean, I guess it's a waste of time right now, and it would be a waste of time if there were, you know, if she feels it was a waste of time. But to cement her legacy, I mean, it's not a waste of time. Plus, I read an interesting article. I think you posted it on our page about the woman who beat her at the judo in the Olympics or whatever. That Ronda, like, no matter how many times she wins the UFC, it's still not that gold medal that she so desperately wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So to her, it's kind of like she's proving something to herself. Yeah, I might not have won the gold medal, but look at me now. There ain't nobody who can touch me. And the more she proves that, I think the better she's going to feel about it, to the point where she's just like, you know what? I really am. There really has been nobody who has challenged me. So, yeah, see ya. She's at what? What's her record right now?
Oh, I don't know if I have to look it up.
I let's say that she's at, I mean, I can't think of the actual thing, but let's say that she's at 15 and 0 right now. I see five more fights, stop it at 20. 20 is a good number for her, and then she'd move on, you know, undefeated 20-0 and move on to movies and WWE and all those other kind of things, because after that there's nothing out, you know, she's already proved it, there's nothing, you know, that could be done.
She's 12-0 currently, so
she's 12-0. Okay, so maybe three more fights, ended at 15.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I just feel like we're probably on borrowed time with Ronda. I just think you can become bigger than the UFC. And it's a good problem to have. And then with Conor McGregor and his antics, man, MMA just has a strong wrestling feel right now. And
well, and I think part of that is because Dana White and Bellator are kind of, you know, they're looking at the fan base of WWE and saying, okay, you know, maybe we can tap into that fan base if we make it a little bit more spectacle. Like they're, you know, like they prefer. Maybe we can get a couple of those people that prefer that over, you know, legitimate fighting to come onto our side. I don't know. Or maybe Dana White and Bellator are talking with the McMahons and saying, hey, let's kind of merge into one giant conglomerate, and then we can own everything like Disney does.
No, that for sure is not happening. I can tell you that UFC is probably not going that route, but they are definitely following the WWE business model, and we see that time and time again in certain things they do. And there's nothing wrong with hype of a fight. I think I'm anxious to see, because Holly Holm has taken the high road with Ronda, what the ratings will be, because you know, the bad blood between her and Miesha Tate and the stuff that has happened in the past, I don't know. Because Holly Holm comes in and just is such a nice person, and I believe everybody believes Ronda's going to win. So I don't know. It's one of those things that we'll have to see how many people are interested this coming Saturday and how big of an event it is. But this is a good month for fighting, and we're going to talk a little bit later about Canelo and Cotto. And then, you know, winter, we talked about it, boxing and MMA, it seems like a winter sport even though they do it year-round. I think it's because it's not nice out and more people follow boxing and MMA then. So I always like this time of year because it seems like the bigger fights happen and everything like that. So we should have a lot of fun this month, dude, breaking down fights, making picks, seeing where we're at.
Yeah. Well,
is anybody in this room picking Holly Holm? Anybody? Anybody? Crickets? Holly Holm? Nobody. Nobody's picking Holly Holm.
Nope.
So we'd have to think of a fun...
And I'm like, no, I want to see how it's doing. I honestly can't find it. I can't find the sales anywhere. I'm going to try something. And again, I'm having internet problems.
Well, we're going to go to our first break here, if it's all set up, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit of the Joseph Donofrio. I'm going to get in really quickly with everything like that. See, Liz found it. Liz is on top of stuff. But we will be back in a few minutes. Take care.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome back to the Undercard, everybody. It's officially episode 164 as we're rocking and rolling through November.
Can't believe we're at 164.
I believe it.
If you really think about it, we started, what, almost 3 years ago now?
And a long time.
We're at 164.
It's been a long time ago.
It's been a long, crazy
look at those old pictures of the Undercard.
And I know. Book.
Say what again?
We keep talking about writing a book about like all the stuff that's happened.
The memoirs of the Undercard.
Start it and then maybe get it done. It might sell more than Ronda's. I don't know. No, I'm joking.
What was the numbers? What did you say?
Yeah, Liz looked it up.
It was over 10,000 hard copies within the first week.
Wow. Yeah, we could beat
which
that.
Which got her on the... No, we can't. Which got her on the bestsellers list, so... I don't know. Maybe it was just something that was overlooked and people thought it was cool, and then now somebody has read it, and it's fight week, and, you know... I think we're definitely going to hear more about it and stuff like that. But as we talked about, Joseph Donofrio had a show. So we move on to the next big show coming up in MMA in Michigan. And you have to look to Lansing, Michigan in a couple weeks. And in Lansing, Michigan, our good friend Petey from TWC, he is throwing a fight. But Anthony Michael, a guy that I believe was at the old station, came in one day. We're going to be calling him up. He is making his pro debut. He's filling in for another fighter. And for his pro debut, he doesn't even care. He's getting in there, going to go crazy. So let's call up Anthony and see what's going on here.
You know, when you first said we were calling Anthony Michael, I was waiting for the Hall. And then I was like, oh, we're calling Anthony Michael Hall? That would be so awesome.
No.
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 Are we calling yet?
No, I'm trying to dial it up.
Oh, okay. So do we know what you said Petey's throwing the fight? What's it called?
It is TWC Pro Series November 21st.
In Lansing, Michigan.
Lansing, Michigan.
Okay. Maybe when you... Oh, there we go. Maybe when they're there, they can throw down with the governor. About those road taxes.
The governor.
Hello?
Hey, Anthony, this is Brad. You're live on the Undercard. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Good. We are joined by Anthony Michael, who is making his pro debut versus Terry Van Avery. It's less than a couple weeks away. You've been on our show before, though, right? You were at the old network, right?
Yeah, it was a while ago. You guys actually had us in studio that time. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you're more than welcome, but I figure you're training for your big pro fight. So Terry was going to face Todd Roberts, and Todd Roberts got injured. And how did Petey approach you about making your pro debut? How did you get in this situation?
Terry and I, we have a little bit of history. You know, we've had teammates fight each other, and we've actually both had students fight each other, and all kinds of stuff. So I've been watching the hype train Terry was creating on Facebook and all the social media, and it was great, man. It was awesome. It looked like he was doing really well. You know, definitely had Todd pissed off. So when I had seen that Todd was injured, it was actually kind of a mutual thing between me and my managers. We were actually looking to get on a pro card late November to mid-December. So when I kind of saw the injury, I just thought there's no better time to, jump on that train, that hype train that he's already created. He already had it moving, so I just decided, hey, let's see what we can do, see if we can get this matched up. And luckily, my manager, Joe Sharp, was able to, get a hold of PD and make it happen.
Now, there must be something, though, about Terry, besides that rivalry, that you're going to make your pro debut against him. What do you see that you're looking to expose? What do you know that you're better at him at, and why him for your pro debut?
It was actually, nothing personal against Terry when it came to it. Business is business. I'm here to make my money. He's here to make his money. At the end of the day, I just feel I have, sharper weapons to use against him than he'll be able to use against me.
And, he was stirring stuff up with Todd Roberts and was really mad that Todd got injured. There was a lot of stuff on social media about it. Do you think he's distracted for this fight against you? Because he's still mad that Todd got injured and isn't able to fight him. I mean, is this an advantage to you? Is he overlooking you?
I think the only thing Terry might be overlooking with me is the size advantage. I'm technically I used to be a 125 fighter. Recently I've moved up to 135. My body's just grown a little bit, put on a little more muscle. But Terry's always been a 145 fighter. So we agreed to have the fight at 150 pounds after they had the fight scheduled at 155. The whole Todd thing backing out, I know it definitely hurt Terry a bit. I think Terry was definitely looking at Todd as a feeder fish to him, going there and getting an easy win. I don't know if Terry is overlooking me. I definitely hope not. I'm definitely coming to bring it, give my all. I'm training day in, day out, and I haven't stopped training for the past 3 years. I've been looking forward to a pro debut. So, if he's distracted, there's a little bit of posts online today that could have said something about it, but I know he's training hard too. Like I said, we have each other on social media, and I see him, all over Snapchat and, Facebook, Instagram, and everything. So I know he's training, but it's definitely going to be a clash of warriors, clash of styles.
Now, there's a lot of experts out there on how to lose weight before a fight in the weight cutting. Whose strategy are you following here to gain that much weight to meet him at where he wants to be for this fight, where it was originally scheduled for him around? What strategy are you using to put on this weight, and have you ever walked at that weight ever in your life? Have you ever been that big?
Actually, this is actually going to be a weight cut for me as well. What most people don't know is, even my last two amateur fights, I've cut between 35 and 44 pounds. So, that's not cutting. That's a diet, throughout,
right.
six to eight week process. But, I'm not a small guy for where I usually fight. So, I've boxed at this weight before. I actually felt my very best in that boxing match. My body, listen to everything I said, and I was able to move real well. So, I know he's cutting and everything, but I'm cutting a little bit. It's not a real hard cut for me, but I feel confident that I have the muscle mass and everything over the past year and a half, 2 years, that the size advantage won't be too much. It won't change anything.
Now, when you and your coaches talked about you going pro, what was talked about? Why are you ready right now? Why is it your time to shine in the pro level?
We definitely feel I've been pro level for a while now. We had some issues here in Jackson, just gyms. Some of the gyms I was training at, we're going through some struggles, financially and stuff like that. So it's been a while. It's kind of, like I said, it's just been a process. So. When we, had this opportunity, is when I called Joe, and he was just ready to go. And I called Quincy, and Quincy told me, if you're ready, you're ready. If you feel ready physically and in his eyes, technique-wise and everything, I'm ready. So he's like, as long as you're ready mentally, go for it. And I definitely feel mentally ready. I think that's my strongest aspect of my game anyway, is my mentality. I go in there, I have a lot of fun. I get in there and I get my business done. So,
now tell us about a typical Spartans training camp. What hours are you working out in the day? Who's with you in the gym? How much is sparring and going through the motions? How much is drills? What's the Spartan training camp looking up to a pro fight? I mean, you've seen obviously some of your friends go pro and stuff like that. What's a Spartan training camp entail?
Typically, we're in there 2 days, or sorry, 2 hours, twice a day. So we run class from 9:30 in the morning to 11:30. And 6 to 8. So on the in-between, you know, you can get a lot of rest, or a lot of people, you know, working there. Jobs can get it one or the other. Me, I've been blessed. I have great sponsors. I have great people behind me that also help me. I can kind of work side jobs during the days, and I can get in there in the morning and night. So we generally start out with half hour to 45 minutes of team cardio every single class. I think that definitely separates us from a lot of people. We always have good cardio. We always go in there and, you know, we don't gas out very easy. And then we usually go into, you know, half hour, 45 minutes of live drilling. So we'll learn a technique, but we'll drill it for a while. We don't just, you know, do it a couple of times. We stay moving and do it over and over and over repetitiously. And then after that, we do a lot of live rolling or live sparring, whatever it may be that day, working on ground, working on stand-up. Wrestling, you know, clinch, anything, whatever we're working on. So it's very well-rounded, and it's tedious. You're already exhausted after cardio, and you still have to go through all your motions for the drilling, which really sets our technique apart from a lot of people. Our technique is very, very good just because we're already tired. So.
And give a shout out to your sponsors. They're always a huge part of the fighter's career and stuff, and you mentioned your sponsors allowing you to train. Give a shout out to your sponsors so everybody knows.
Yeah, definitely. Janko Boot Shop here in Jackson. Andy Janko does actually a lot for the MMA community as a whole. Joe Sharp, PCFL, Printer Source Plus. Most people know Joe around Michigan if they're from the MMA scene. He's always got everybody's back. ACS Live, we got Jason Muggs over there. Of course, he does a lot for Michigan MMA as well. He's always had my back from day one, and he's from Jackson, so that's always cool. JC Whitney has been on board lately. I really thank them. An international sponsor, you know, that was pretty cool to get hooked up with them, and they always have my back too now, so it feels good.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us on the show. You know, we typically don't do a lot of pro debuts anymore because of the style of the show, but I tell you, when I read your story about taking the fight and going up in weight and everything like that, you know, I think that's admirable. One of my friends likes to call people who are concerned with who they're fighting, he likes to call them owls because they're always asking, who am I fighting, who, what's their record, who, everything's who, but you're not one of those guys. So we appreciate you. We like your toughness. Go out there and get that victory.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it. I'm definitely coming for the win out there, and you know, after this, it doesn't really matter the opponent, as you said. So I'm always ready. I'm always game.
All right. Thank you very much. Give a shout-out. Where can people find you and follow your career at?
Yeah, Facebook.com/AnthonyMichael. And then we also have, you know, I'm on Instagram, Snapchat. You can look me up under the Mongoose Michael or Anthony Michael, either way. That's my biggest followings is all the social media. So,
very, very cool. All right. Thanks, you, everybody. That's Anthony Michael. Follow him, and we'll talk to you soon. Man, that was a bad phone connection.
Yeah, it was. It's all right.
I mean, I could hear.
He's in Lansing, so it's kind of expected.
No. He's in Jackson.
Jackson, Michigan.
Right. Well, yeah.
But he's fighting in Lansing,
yeah,
Michigan.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I just been informed our other guests have arrived, and so Rochelle's going to go down there and get them as we talk. But we got Cage in the Cave coming in a little bit, and we're going to talk the Joseph Donofrio fight, which everything you would expect out of
a
class.
We did get I got some audio clips that I had spliced together of live audio from the actual fights, and then we got a couple of interviews with a couple of the fighters. Another special event happened. I will talk about it when we get to the thing, but I got some audio of that. We've been talking about it for a long time, and they honored Senator Robinson at the event, and I got some audio of that. So we'll be playing all those a little bit later. But yeah, great, great fight from beginning to end. The very first fight, I was literally on my laptop typing up like who's fighting who. They didn't ring the bell, but they started. I looked down for a second. I looked back up, and everybody went, oh, and I'm like, what happened? And the guy was on the ground. Joseph Battaglia was, like, trying to cover him. And I'm like, what just happened? I guess he got his block knocked off or something like that, and it happened within, like, the first 15 seconds.
Now, I have to go here and talk about this, and I sent you some screenshots over this past week, and I like to go in those chat rooms and see what people are talking about.
Uh-huh, yep.
I don't interact with these people because I think there's
no reason to.
Yeah, but some of the comments that were out there about the Joseph Donofrio show was a pretty mediocre card. Imagine if the matchmaking was done right.
Wow, that's just... you know what? I didn't see that, and it sounds like they were maybe a little bit jealous.
Another comment was all that venue for all that mediocrity.
Yeah, and these are coming from people that, really do put on mediocre shows. So, what's the phrase? The lady doth protest too much. I think that's kind of the thing here.
So I decided I was going to talk on it, and I don't know why you would be mad at the venue of Joe Louis Arena. It had a feel of professionalism
that it
always did. We're joined by two people here in a second, and we'll turn this over to them too. But why you would be mad at the venue?
I don't think throwing it at
the Joe Louis Arena makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't think they were mad at the venue per se. I think they were mad because they will never be able to put on a show like that at a venue like that, and they were a little butthurt by that. I mean, that's just my opinion.
I've never seen trolling as with Michigan MMA about people just getting on there and just speaking like crazy nonsense.
Well, it's been that way since you said, hey, maybe you want to join this page, and I went, okay. And like from that day, all I've been watching is just trolls.
We are joined by Caged in the Cave here. Introduce your guys' self. Go left to right.
This is Andrew the Assassin Watson from Caged in the Cave.
And Bobby Adams.
All right, so you guys are very much into the amateur MMA scene. We were moving over talking about the Joseph Donofrio show. We have some sound bites, and then I want to hear your guys' take on it and get what you think of amateur MMA. Did you read some of the comments about the Saturday show?
Absolutely.
what'd you think?
I think it's complete horseshit, especially considering the same people that are trying to dog on that show are the same people that just put a professional matchup in Daryl Thompson, who's 1-5 against Vince Murdoch. So it's like, you guys are talking about mediocre, and you guys are taking a very mediocre fighter and putting him against one of the state's top 135 or so. You know, that just shows the the hypocrisy in the Michigan MMA alone. It's like, you guys are talking shit about a show that was well put together.
Yeah.
First of all. I mean, the only way I could see you guys being pissed at was throwing at Joe Louis is if you had to stand next to them cannons as they're going off. But other than that, like, it was a well-put-together amateur card.
Absolutely it was.
How about you, Bobby?
Oh, I loved it. It was one of the best shows that I've seen in probably a couple months.
Right.
I mean, the only thing that I could see that they got mad at that they can dog Joseph Donofrio was because it wasn't completely full. That's the only thing I can see that they can say anything about. And here's the thing. It's the Joe Louis. You're not going to fill the Joe Louis really completed capacity.
It's not UFC coming here or anything.
Right.
It was impressive, though, the attendance.
It was.
You look around, it was very impressive.
Yeah, it was. Very impressive.
And whether some of the tickets were given away at promos, and it doesn't matter. There was people watching amateur MMA.
Yep.
There's butts in seats getting these people more eyes on them.
Exactly. I mean, I'm trying to deal with these rooms and amateur MMA and stuff. And when something makes me mad, like taking a shot at some of these fighters, Greg Schaefer, broke his hand, right? Yep. Was that first round, right?
Yeah.
First round. You're calling out those kind of efforts, you know what I'm saying, by saying, like, mediocre cards and stuff like that. And some of these people weren't even at the fight but are able to talk about the fight, which how do you do that? You weren't there.
Keyboard warriors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you guys handle that? Because you guys are more to the AMI MMA scene than we do. I
did a little trolling this week.
Did you?
Yeah, against the Cubbies. It was awesome.
Okay.
And here's
what happened. We're sponsoring Aaron Smith.
Right.
Aaron Smith was originally supposed to be on that card. He was supposed to fight for the lightweight title against Marcus Maldi. Rini ended up fighting for the lightweight title. He got booed.
Yeah, he did.
He cried about it.
I actually have that audio.
He cried about it. And I knew that if I poked him a little bit, I can get the reaction out of him that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, I went on there and said, you know, I want to see the Rini Aaron Smith fight. It went on for like an hour. I didn't hear anything from him. Somebody else commented, and I said, well, it'll be a slaughter. And I knew in the back of my mind that's going to get them to start talking. And of course, Connor Cuppy and Rini both come out of the woodwork like I wanted them to.
Corey.
And they come out of the woodwork like I wanted them to. And just start talking trash. And I'm like, yes. And then, of course, I guess Rini's already supposed to be fighting Russell Campbell, so it kind of backfired on me.
But all four of us, before we move on to the thought, we all agree it was a great show.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Phenomenal show.
We were all at the show. We all agree it was
Yes, cool. Phenomenal show. We had a professional boxer with us, Anthony Barnes. Who
signed by Top Rank. Signed by Cameron Duncan.
Signed by Top Rank, who has never really gone to an amateur MMA fight before. And he kind of had some preconceived notions about what it was probably going to be. And as he's sitting right next to me in the middle of the fight, so I'm like, so what do you think so far? And he's like, it's phenomenal. He goes, I have more respect for these guys now than I have ever had before. These guys are incredible. I mean, and that's a top pro boxer signed by Top Rank who's saying this, you know, just great fight, top notch fight.
Absolutely. I mean, I've had, you know, tons of respect for Marco Smallman. I can tell you this, after watching him, you know, take out, you know, Robert Gidron with the ease, I gained more respect from that night. You know, we've interviewed him, you know, I've had him around multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joseph Battaglia and all of them are very well connected with, you know, KF Radio. So we sit there and I get to hang out with these guys and talk to them. And, you know, Bobby trains at Fuse right now. So it's like, when you see these guys go out there and put it all on the line and you see them, you know, gradually going up, like people want to, you know, complain about the, what was his name, Matt Cilla winning the belt, and then they want to complain about...
I tell you what, though, Matt Cilla, I've watched him train and wrestle against Bobby Nash, who is one of the top 170ers in the state at the pro level, and just his athleticism alone is amazing. So for people to complain and say, oh, he didn't deserve it, watch his fights. They're nothing to laugh about. He's not fighting Joe Bum off the street. He's fighting, you know, some of the top level amateurs, and he's training with the best guys in the state.
The kid he fought the other night was 5-2 or something like that. He had a more established record than him, and he went out there.
Honestly, if you go on, I have a feeling I know which forum you guys went on.
Yeah,
I think we all know which one we're talking about.
It's nothing but trolls.
Yep.
No, it's they not. They're keyboard warriors who will never get out there and never get their butts in a gym and train and go out and decide if they want to fight or not, regardless if you want to or not, but at least train and know what these guys go through before you start running your mouth and talking trash and trying to trash these guys' names, because they put in more work in the gym than you do at working your 40-hour job.
Right.
Well, that's what I loved about Rini, when Rini was like, oh, you bums, and the going on. And
that's
all,
what I
know.
Got. I got
it's
the,
like, it's
yeah,
like
here.
You know, calling right bums, you'll never have enough guts to get into the cage. Half the people in the stadium right now are fighters, buddy, like professionals, amateurs, all, you know, guys with more than a 5-5-1 record, Rini, so don't sit here and try to bash everybody.
I'm going to play the audio clip. I got the... Yeah, they just
going off.
Yeah, he would like, and so a precursor to that is when Rini and his opponent were fighting, The crowd wanted to see a lot of action happening rapidly, and they were taking their time, and they were picking their punches, and they were kind of going slow for the crowd. So they were booing them during the fight. And then after the fight, Rini, you know, he won by decision. And he got on the mic, and he starts calling out the audience, like, you don't know what we do, and blah, blah, blah. And that's the audience just like, you know, like, when he won, everybody's like, okay, you know, congratulations. And then, no, everybody turned on him.
Well, yeah, that's what these guys do is if you watch their Facebook posts, it's always, if they win, it's one more for the bad guys. So they like to portray themselves as these bad guys. And I called Connor out on it. I said, I know what you guys do. You guys know what you guys are doing. You guys are selling yourselves to be like the Floyd Mayweather, the jerks, the people who you want to get people now to watch you. People want to watch you just to see you lose.
With a name jacked and tan, why would you say that?
Yeah. Exactly. I honestly fell under that banner one time.
And the best thing.
But you're not tan.
I know. And I was I put down my old gym and then they changed it. And I'm like, no, damn it. I'm not jacked or tan. I'm pasty and white and scrawny.
Even when he was, you know, still in fighting shape, man, he was never jacked. It was always just like a slender man. So, but no, the thing with Rini and why he's getting booed. And you guys understand, it's like, as we were all saying, the fight card was, well, you know, even the fights, all the fighters came out and fought hard. And then comes the Rini-Austin Delary fight. So you guys kind of need to expect that out of a crowd that's been getting great fights all night long. And then you get a shit fight like that handed to you. And then back to other great fights. There was not another boring fight before that or after that.
Nope.
Well, we're going to talk about your show here in a little bit, but Jimmy, run us through what audio you have. Okay. We do have a quick interview with Marco Smallman we got that night.
So this is I flashed together just to give a kind of like, if you've never been to a Donofrio fight and you've never kind of seen what it's like, this is just kind of a flash shot of just a bunch of audio, raw audio that I edited together for about a 2-minute clip. Oh, just kind of some of the sounds and noises that you heard during the fight. Anthony, what do you think of the fights so far?
So far, they're all really good. Really aggressive fights. A lot of knockouts.
Yeah, you guys can hear a lot of that cannon going off. It was after every introduction that cannon went off.
It still scared me just now.
You know what?
And, I almost jumped.
And here's the thing. I'm Brad and them know this, but I'm a vet from Afghanistan. And Anthony was sitting next to me, and there were so many times where I wasn't prepared for it. I'm doing something else, and that cannon went off, and I would literally jump out of my chair. And he just, like, I wish I had video of this.
The first time it went off, he actually looked, he's like, you all right?
Yeah.
And I sat there for a second, I was like,
holy
crap. Had to catch my breath. I was like, almost gave me a panic attack.
Right, right. This next clip, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, Liz, you ring girled next to
him. Yeah, being underneath that, my ear popped at one of them.
I'm sure
I could not hear for like five fights.
Yeah.
I got to give that, you know, a round of applause for every single one of them round girls because they just walked out like nothing was going on. They're just like, bam! Like,
yeah.
Well, me, I would have fell on the ground.
It went off and we were right underneath it too, and you could feel the heat coming down.
Right. Yeah, no, it was crazy. Yeah, that cannon, man.
Yeah, ooh. That literally hurt my ear. I could not hear.
James Holloway didn't even blink, which was impressive.
Well, and I got an interview with James Holloway a little bit, and we'll get to talking about him. But one of the big things that happened in the middle of the event is Senator Robertson, who was huge and entered the Senate Bill 152, which is regulating amateur MMA. They gave him a belt in honor of his service towards amateur MMA. And this is a little bit of that audio.
During his entire tenure as a member of the Michigan House and Senate, Senator Robertson has worked tirelessly on behalf of the sport of mixed martial arts, particularly to ensure the safety our fighters. Since the inception of our sport, amateur mixed martial arts has been entirely without official rules in our state, often putting the health and safety of our fighters at risk. Seeing the need to ensure fighter safety and improve the integrity of our sport in Michigan, Senator Robertson has drafted sweeping legislation creating a strong regulatory structure with fighter safety as its primary mission. In October of this year, after many years of Senator Robertson's hard work and effort, Senate Bill 152 was passed into law. Senator, on behalf of Mr. Donofrio, the Impact Fight League, and particularly on behalf of all amateur fighters in our state, we present to you this championship belt, properly engraved to Senator Dan Robertson, World Championship Legislator.
So yeah, really big change for amateur MMA with this bill.
Bye bye Wild West.
Yeah, what do you guys think about this bill?
Love it.
We've actually talked about this like the past like three shows we've had. I've actually went out and
looked
up the bill and broke down. You know, because a lot of guys they're bitching and complaining that about their cost.
Right.
It's nothing. On the fighter's level, it's like $200.
Right.
Right.
And you're a fighter.
Fighter.
Okay, why?
Eventually, hopefully get back.
But. Always a fighter. But
right. Once a fighter, always a fighter.
I mean, simple blood tests that rule out hepatitis and AIDS, you're kind of for that.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah. I much rather have regulation than non-regulation. It helps now that the matchmakers have to be... they have to get their matchmaking license.
Yeah.
All these things now the timekeeper even has to have the license. So everything now is you have to have your ducks in a row, and I'm tired of seeing a lot of these shows that are, sorry to say, but half-assed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To where your show doesn't get started till 9 o'clock because you guys are trying to find Joe Schmo to go be your timekeeper, and there's been fight cards. Don't want to name promotions, but there's been fight cards that people have been seriously hurt because they pulled just a ref out of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of their buddies. So
that's like everywhere.
Yeah, I mean.
And on top of it, fighters now get to have real records. Like, you can't lie about it. Everything gets reported.
Yeah, right.
If this would have been set in stone many years ago, I might actually be on Tapology. Ranked on Tapology. But no. Damn you, XCC.
Yeah.
So what people that are still against this bill, and it's too late now, it's going to the governor and it will be signed, but what are they even arguing? I mean, just cost?
Cost of the blood test and them having to pay to get their license. Like, I broke it down. I think it's $100 originally to get started because you got to pay for the registration and you got to pay for the license, and you pay like $60 for your blood test. So in all, you got to pay for the blood test twice every 6 months. I found one for $60 online. You pay them, and they send you to a lab, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are paying like $220. Why complain?
We broke it down. Travel for hockey is $10,000 a year for children. Anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000.
One of the co-owners of Cave Radio, his son plays soccer. They pay $1,100 just for soccer for one season.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So stop complaining.
Yeah, it's not. It's not.
It's not that much.
It's not that much, and it's going to. I mean, so many positive things will come out of that. And I mean, look at the Donofrio fights. Donofrio does it right. He already does all the stuff, you know, with the tests and the ref and, you know, good refs. Make sure that he has the EMT standing by. I mean, Brad and I, we went and doctor. No, I'm saying EMT standing by along with the doctor. Stretchers on site. So on the Donofrio fights, we had Pat Carlson who had to get stitched. We had the guy who broke his hand. And we had the guy,
Schaefer
broke his hand.
Jay Albert.
And had to get taken out in a stretcher.
Yeah.
I mean.
Ambulance. Right.
Ambulance. That's what I'm saying. Taken out in a stretcher and then they had to transfer
him to the
hospital.
When they leaned Jay up, we were sitting ringside. He didn't know where he was.
No,
he didn't. Didn't know what was going on.
Now, I mean, that happened because of illegal strikes. But, I mean, still, you don't know what's going to happen in that cage. You can't control what's going to happen in that cage. Somebody could do the illegal strikes, and then you got a guy that's got, you know, I mean, he's probably going to need reconstructive surgery on his face from what I saw. And, I mean, that's a very expensive, you know, surgery. Who's going to pay for that? Your fighter? No, that's why you have the, what's it called? The
insurance.
The insurance. Thank you. Yeah. The insurance.
So you're talking more of the promoter side. They were talking more of the fighter side.
Right.
I love you guys because you guys are all about controversy and stuff. But let's go through some promotions I'll be around. So for sure, Joseph Donofrio's around. Battaglia will do the pro-hams. Petey will be okay. Carlos from boxing is getting into MMA. He has a pro show coming up in January at Royal Oak Music Theater. Who do you see sticking around? Who's in trouble?
WXC
sticks around because they have financing through another source, but it's going to take them a minute to get their stuff right. I think Knockout Promotions, because they're already spending 10 grand plus on their shows as it is.
When you fight on a naval ship.
Exactly. That looks sweet.
It did. I want to go.
It rained that day, though.
It's so far away, but me and him been talking about it because then the next fight was at like an Air Force hangar. I'm like,
yeah.
Who the hell are you guys getting this done?
Yeah, they're already spending 10 grand plus on their shows, so this isn't really going to hurt them. But a lot of your smaller organizations that, like,
one that I personally don't want to see go is SoFly Combat League, just because Conrad Lokes does so much for the amateur fighters and professionals by sponsoring him. The kid, you know, works his ass off and does all this, and any money that's profit from his shows or any money that he somehow makes from sponsors and stuff like that, he puts all right back into the, you know, the fighters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's one kid that I know that probably isn't going to have the funds.
I think he'll get sponsors, though.
He might.
Puts on a pretty good show.
He might get some
sponsors. I don't think Rage Cage is going to survive.
No.
Really, a lot of your stuff. Thank God Masters of Combat is gone.
Masters of Combat, right? Which you guys had personal experience with.
That was such a
What's the other one? Elite Federations of Fighters, you barely see them around,
but they won't
here's the thing, is that some of these guys are so low-key, like, EFF still throws fights and you never freaking hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what?
And there's going to be these guys that are going to try to backdoor, you know.
You're like still, underground fighting.
Yeah, still try
stuff.
To do fighting, so they're going to get caught. You know what I mean? It's going to take one or two of those guys to get caught before the other, you know, guys are like,
maybe we shouldn't do this.
Yeah, maybe we should back down, but There's a lot of guys in jeopardy, man. There's not – I see, you know, maybe five, a whole handful of people sticking around. That's WXC.
I think at first it's going to be
– TXC, TWC with the Pro-Ams.
Mm-hmm.
Knockout Promotions.
KOP, and maybe Big John's from up north because he does have pro shows and everything else like that. So.
And Donofrio.
Donofrio, IFL.
Yeah.
So the good things that we've talked about this bill is that you're going to not see watered-down cards anymore. You're
exactly.
not going to see 33 fights in one night. Yeah. So you're there till 3 in the morning.
Oh, I forgot to say.
I will say, that guy's in big danger any which way it goes. If there was no sanctioning or whatever, nobody wants to really be a part of that anymore.
Which one are we talking about?
West Michigan Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
About to say, nobody wants to really be a part of that anymore. But the biggest thing is that
we actually talked about Battaglia about the non-watered down fights anymore. After the fight card was already done, Mr. Battaglia came out and talked to us for a little bit, and that's his exact same thing. It's no longer you're gonna have the best of the best fighting each other
right.
from now on.
Which is going to help because let's look at the bigger promotions. Obviously, UFC, but Bellator. Not a lot of Michigan fighters get picked.
No.
And maybe it's our AMI background, maybe it's not. We got Cody Stamann now fighting in Kansas City in December. He's got the look. He had a bad decision down in Southgate, Michigan and stuff. But maybe this will help fighters from Michigan get more of a look. For being such a state that's passionate about MMA, we don't have a lot of fighters.
No,
on that next stage.
No, for the longest time, if you fought in Michigan, a lot of states would allow you to fight in their state as an AMI.
Right. So, I mean, it's good in that regard and stuff like that. Let's talk a lot about your show now. Cage in the Cave, you guys are on the next day. We used to be on Sundays, too. We used to do the two-day thing, and we used to love Sunday shows because it was fresh in your mind. People wanted to talk about it. Then we got rid of Sunday shows because we just got old and we couldn't do it no more. But we are only on Tuesdays and Sundays, the day morning after, you guys are breaking down fights. And I'll give you a huge compliment. You guys break down fights really good. I enjoy listening to you guys. Listen to last Sunday. Yeah, you guys know your stuff. Tell us about your show.
It started basically, I was leaving another show from Cave Radio, and you know, it was because I didn't know too much about every sport. I don't sit there and watch, you know, 181 games of baseball or hockey, and like I love hockey and stuff like that, but when it gets down to the playoffs, I'll watch it. You know, I'll grow a beard for playoffs. That's all year long. But I started it, and me and Bobby, he's actually my cousin. We used to train together and fight out of the same gym, Four Aces Fight Club, before it, you know, shut down. And there's not one other person that I knew that, you know, was...
First off, I wasn't there from the inception.
No, he wasn't there. He wasn't there from the inception, okay? I started it, rough draft. It was just me and our co-host Wilson. And I wanted, you know, fighter and a fan, you know what I mean? So he can kind of, like, be the fan point of view and ask questions, because he does ask some great questions that I can't think of.
From time to time.
Yeah, that I can't think of because I'm a fighter. I'm more worried about, you know, the fight aspect. We're talking about the wheelchair boxing. It's like, oh, what constitutes a knockout? You know what I mean? Like, great fucking question. Like, what do you constitute as a knockout in that, like, can't hit the ground?
Tip.
So I looked, you know, at what we wasn't going right at the time, and I knew that there was one person that, you know, because I'm a stand-up, you know, fighter. That's always loved it. That's where I'm at. I've wrestled, everything else like that, but that's not who I am. Like, if I'm getting in the cage, we're going to hit each other, and sooner or later somebody's going to fall. So I was like, I need a ground aspect of this, because I don't know, you know, when we watched a fight and Darius Carter locked up a submission that I'd never even seen, a knee bar. Mm. Like, he was locking up, and I couldn't see him. Bobby's like, do you see what's going on? And I was like, no. I needed that, so I got Bobby in, and from there, he's basically in my PR. Like, he does all the interviews or locks him down, and it's been great. We try to, you know, go at to every show that we can, amateur-wise, and we also want to cover the professionals. We just don't care too much for the UFC and Bellator now, mm-hmm. just because everybody hears their name on a daily basis. They already have a million followers on Twitter and stuff like that. We want to get the other guys' names out there, like Josh Bruckner, Aaron Smith, you know, all these other guys.
Now, we were talking about PD's card coming up November 21st. What fights do you guys want to see on that card?
All of them.
All of them? There's not one that sticks out that you're like, okay.
The Brandon McLaughlin and Ruben fight really does stick out to me. And I'm not just saying that because he's an undercard-sponsored fighter. It really sticks out to me for the simple fact that Brandon's kind of still fresh to the game, and Ruben's been challenging for titles, and he's fought for Bellator and, you know, stuff like that. So it's like, this can, you know, be the next big boost for Brandon. If he pulls off what some people are calling an upset win,
mm-hmm.
then it's really going to launch his career and see where he can go from there. You know, as I said, Ruben's a title challenger, so that's just going to show where Brandon's really at, you know, mentally and physically in the fight industry.
Yeah, you know, it's a good fight for both of them, actually, because Ruben has a questionable chin, been knocked out three times. We've
yeah.
seen him out cold at Battaglia show. For a long time, you know, Brandon likes it on the ground. Ruben's strong wrestler. It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to be a chess match. I really do believe it's going to be a chess match on the ground. Do you guys see it going any other way? I mean,
here's the thing: is that I feel like Brandon's going to have to mainly use his hands for this fight. For you know, as you said, he's been knocked out. I think it's been his last three fights.
Mm-hmm.
Ruben's the type of guy that can grind you out, though. And that's what, you know, I get that McLaughlin has a very strong ground game, but Ruben's a big, strong, you know, fighter. There's always that chance that Brandon's off and he grinds him out on the ground for three rounds.
Right.
You don't want that to happen. You want to know where he's weak at, and that's where you want to attack him at the most. Other than that,
by a fight that I want to see,
the Hamada.
So much bad blood is the Cuppy Hamada fight.
Yep,
because these two legitimately hate each other, and honestly, I want to see how Mike comes out because he's been off for a year. He hasn't fought since he lost to
Adrian
Hajiba.
Right.
So I mean, a year layoff. What kind of ring rust do you have?
Right. It seems like the Cuppies always.
They're always in a feud.
They are
even with Mo recently. I mean, that's got to be exhausting before a fight. The stuff they get into
after he got his butt kicked by
Connor hasn't been anywhere.
Connor, after he got his butt kicked by Mo,
mm-hmm.
he turned. This is we interviewed Cody before his last fight. He said, "I kid you guys not." Connor looked at me and said, "I'm going to kick your ass." After he just lost to Mo, it's like really, you guys just
wow.
You know what they do is they just they find a guy who's got a bigger name than them and they try to attach themselves to it.
It's good for the sport though because it sells tickets and it gets people. I mean, people like that stuff. So what other fights? Let's run down here. Who else do you like on the card?
The fight I least am interested in, and it's I don't mean to discredit anybody at all. Dasan Tantad, he's fighting Eric Lozano or Lozano, whatever his last name is. I don't like that matchup at all. When did he win? Because I know he lost to Cuppy,
mm-hmm.
then he beat Tyler Edgerton, and then he just most recently lost to Justin Jaynes. So please tell me when he went on a winning streak to earn a title shot.
Yeah.
That's the thing that, that's the thing that's wrong. Another fight I don't care to see because I know how it's going to end because the kid just lost to a 1-0 fighter, Jesse Bosi, Daryl Thompson. The kid can't get it together. Okay. So you're going to put him up against Vince Murdoch? That sounds smart.
Well, I want to see the Mo Williams and Connor Cuppy.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't like the Cuppies.
I know. So, well, let's talk a little bit about Mo Williams. I haven't seen him too much, but I did see him fight Brandon back in the day. He's had a layoff.
Yeah,
and he's coming back. He was injured in training. Talk a little bit. He had a broken jaw. Talk a little bit about this. Is layoff good jumping into a pro fight? Or I mean,
I actually have history with Mo. 2 years ago, I was contacted by Prison City Fight League about fighting for them, and they're like, "We either got Justin Overton, or we got Mo Williams." And they're like, "But Justin's kind of hurt. We don't know if he's going to be able to fight. You're going to fight Mo Williams." I'm like, "Okay." Start getting ready for fight, and Mo got hurt. Then he was out for almost a year after that, a whole year, and then. So I was researching him at the time. You know, I'm like, oh, this is going to possibly be my next opponent. And big, strong kid. And from what I seen last fight of Connor, if he's not, like, I don't care. Going up to, TriStar doesn't impress me. Like, you're not really training with Tor St. Pierre or any of the real big guys. You know what I mean? You're training probably with their amateurs or something because you're not, I don't care. Because they did the same thing last time mm-hmm. for the Mo fight, the other Mo.
Yeah.
Whatever you're learning up there, it's not enough for you. And whatever, you're kind of, getting stale sitting around your brother this whole time. You've learned from your whole life. Most fighters even tell you got to change it up from time to time and really learn something new. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, after that last, the Mo Strachey fight, I don't believe that he learned enough up at TriStar. And I don't think it's going to be enough for a guy that's as big and as hard, heavy hitting and a great wrestler. As in Mo Williams. If Mo Williams is on that night, Connor Cuppy has his hands full with a guy that's 0-0.
Tremendous striker because he's had martial arts in his background since he was single-digit age, just 6 or 8, I think. Mo's been involved with it. Powerful kicker. Lots of trouble, maybe. It's possible. I'm just worried about the layoff. And let's talk about also, let's go really quick. Ruben's coming off an 8-month layoff. Brandon's fresh off a fight.
He needed that.
Because of the knockouts and stuff, yes. So does that help Ruben going in?
I think it helps Ruben a little bit just because, he doesn't have – once your brain gets trauma, you get knocked out easier. So I think that long layoff is going to help him rest. But if he stayed in the gym, he should be fine. But it's a fight that I'm interested in seeing because I like Brandon. I like watching Brandon fight.
Well, even Mo's layoff, it's he's been off for quite a time, but he's transitioned over to MTT. He's training with the best guys in the state of Michigan. You know, I seen a video of him with Darren. I don't know if it was today or yesterday. And his striking on the mitts with Darren was very, very sharp and just heavy. You can tell that every, you know, punch, even though it was quick as hell, was, you know, meant for bad intentions. And it's like, his layoff could be great. Could, you know, just because Connor is, you know, even though he lost, he's coming off of a fight a couple, you know, about a month and a half before this fight. That could play, you know, a beneficial factor for, you know, Cuppy. Ruben, no matter what, he needed that.
Mm-hmm.
And rather he wins or, you know, this fight or not, loses it, it's still a good thing for him. It was still, you know, even if he loses by knockout, it was still something that was very well needed for him. You can't keep, you know, going through that. Just, mm-hmm. you know, four knockouts in a row now, like, no, like, just call it quits for a little bit, rethink your decision about where you need to be, and, you know, find another game plan for a job.
I got to ask you guys about another pro debut, Elise Anderson, very popular on the west side of the state, and not a lot of people know about her on the east side of the state. Are you guys buyers in her, or is this just a little bit of a hype train as she makes her pro debut?
No, she's great. 105 and 115 champion for multiple organizations, especially for TWC's amateur series. I do believe she, you know, has what it takes to, you know, make a name of herself. And somebody I would actually love to see her fight once she gets a couple wins under her belt is Kaylee Cutler from Jack and
Honey Graham. Badger.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean that would be a tough match because the Honey Badger always brings it and stuff like that. That would be good. But you're a buyer in her. How about you?
Unfortunately, I
disagree.
No. I'm not as familiar with her. When I took 2 years away from the sport completely after I trained with Jack and Tan and lost my last fight. Like, being around those guys made me hate the sport so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I just completely cut myself off from it. So a lot of these fighters now, I'm just now learning again. And there's fighters that, you know, I've seen back when I was training who have progressed so much. And it's great to see them. Like Josh Bruckner, at the last TFC's Fight Zone card, was the first time I've seen Josh in almost 3 years. He was telling me about the time that he broke some guy's arm and everything else. I didn't see him. And I come out and I trained with this kid when he was 15 years old. And to see him when he beat Ward Walling as bad as he did, it was amazing. So when we go, a lot of these guys, I have to go and look over them again before the fight cards actually happen. So I kind of know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But her, I'm not too familiar on.
All right. You guys had Marco Smallman on your show the other day. We have an interview, brief interview with Marco Smallman we're going to play. It was just right after his fight. And then we'll talk about your great interview with Marco. Hi, we're here with Marco Smallman, who is now currently still undefeated, 10-0. Congratulations tonight, and thanks for joining the undercard.
No, thank you for having me.
All right, so you went in there and took care of business. Probably your toughest opponent. I talked to Joseph Pataglia yesterday. He said this was a good test for you. What did you learn about yourself tonight?
This really showed me my mental toughness, first and foremost. He was really my toughest opponent yet. I took some good hard shots, and that woke me up and told me, hey, this is for real now. Yeah, I get this done, or he's gonna take you out, and you don't want that to happen. So, I've always been kind of known as, you know, being a slow starter, especially in the first round, being a slow starter. But once I take those few hits, that's when I start waking up and fully realizing, hey, it's go time. And he comes from a very good school, Robert Gidron. Was it Grand Rapids MMA? They've got guys like, you know, Sean Mack. Micah Humita, who went the distance with Adrian Hajibayai. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but yeah, he's a great fighter himself. So I knew he had a good team behind him. So I watched all the film I could, and, you know, took in an entire game plan with all the coaching staff behind me. So I put it all together, and you saw what you saw.
Now, I always kind of try to find a hidden strength, and today I found your cardio as a hidden strength. Strong in cardio. What's it take at this level, at 10-0 as an amateur? How much cardio are you putting in? What miles are you running? What does it take? Because you weren't hardly breathing at the end of, no heavy breathing whatsoever. Tell us about your cardio regimen.
Well, I come from a wrestling background, and with wrestling, you're constantly running miles. You're constantly, because in a wrestling tournament, you're getting called for stalling, you know, you're constantly moving. If you're not doing anything or if you're just staying still, you're going to get called for stalling points, and then you get deducted points. So cardio has always been important to me first and foremost. And then on top of that, you know, I'm always putting hours in the I'm always putting hours in the gym. And also I added a strength conditioning coach, Craig Funk. He does a lot more, I wouldn't say, you know, CrossFit stuff, but we do a lot of circuit training, a lot of kettlebell work, you know, to really not only build, not just build big muscles, but build muscles that are good for a sport like MMA. So I've been adding that, and I put in work 7 days a week. Like, I would have to say, without acting cocky or sounding cocky, that I probably put in just as much work as most pros in the state, if not everyone. So I mean, that's, you kind of got to do that. You know, this is a tough dangerous sport, and you could potentially get mortally injured. So got to put in the work.
So speaking of pros, when are you going to go pro? That's the big question.
Well, when my coaching staff feels I'm ready to go to the next step, that's when I go. You know, if, hey Marco, let's go pro next year. Okay, what do I have to do? And we go from there.
All right, take care, Marco. Best of luck the rest of your amateur career. If it's short, we'll follow you in the pros. Take care, buddy. That was our quick interview with Marco Smallman. We were actually catching him in between a couple interviews, so we just had a few questions. But you guys had a great interview with him on Sunday. Where's Marco ranked pound for pound? I'm not talking in his weight class. Where is he in amateurs? Where's he on your list, top 10? They're thinking top.
This is
you stumped him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
Is he, well, first of all, is he in the top 10?
Yes. Oh, for sure. Okay. Absolutely. He's number one in the 170 division throughout the state.
Okay.
Throughout the whole state. And with nobody knowing how long Chaos Williams is really out with injury, because everybody keeps saying it's going to be lengthy and everything else, it's him and Josh Bruckner, Willis Black, Chaos Williams, and Robert Gidron in the top five of that weight division. But Marco Smallman is king of the hill as of right now. And in the top five, or top five, top 10 of, you know, all weight classes in the state of Michigan. God, this is a hard one. Just
I'm gonna say he's number one in the state of Michigan just because of the quality of fighters that he's
pound
fought.
Pound for pound.
Because of the quality of fighters that he has fought. You've got guys like Dylan Ankeny and things like that who haven't fought the best of the best yet, but Marco, each and every single time he's fighting another top welterweight in the state. They went out, got Marcus Malding. He went out and he fought Aaron Smith. Three fights ago. Now he just fought Robert Gidron. I mean, you don't see a lot of these amateurs going out and fighting the top guys.
Yeah, the top.
That's the only reason I say Marco's the pound-for-pound best right
now. The thing is, I'm stumped because I'm sitting here trying to think of anybody else that I can really...
Esteban was the only other one, but yeah, he just lost.
But he just lost. Yeah. Yeah, he's king of the hill right now of everybody.
I've not seen the video of him losing, but it was the second round submission, right?
Yeah, to Michael Hooper.
Right. Man, that's breaking momentum. I mean, he had the look and everything like that. I've not seen the fight yet, though. Have you guys seen the fight?
No,
yet?
I haven't.
There's no video yet of it.
No,
we were
obviously
at the other Saturday thing.
Yep, and everybody was like, oh, he lost. And I'm like, wait a minute, he lost? How? How did he lose? And unfortunately, there was no like updates. Because a lot of these promotions, they'll have somebody that'll update on the World of Fighters. Nobody had anything for that card. It was so sad. I'm like, no.
So, yeah, Esteban Rodriguez, who has the look of a fighter, like I thought he was very marketable. As a step back, I mean, you got to kind of line up some amateur fights again and see where you're at and stuff.
Well,
like
I guess
that.
He's got his next fight lined up already.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dylan Ankeny.
Yeah, Dylan Ankeny. They've already scheduled that fight
for KOP.
They're just waiting to release the date of the fight.
Yeah, I don't see too many. Man, that's a great thing, especially with Esteban Rodriguez. He's another guy just like Marco. You fight the top guys in your weight division. That's how you really determine if you are the top in the state and if you're ready to go pro. Because there's so many other guys on these lists that have so many fights. But I wouldn't even consider in the top 10 just because of the quality of the fights they've been in. Everybody in the state right now is in love with Jose Johnson, eye for an eye Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying him.
Right. His last fight for WXC fought a kid who was like 2-3-0, and his takedown defense was
solid. Darius Carter, everybody's loving this kid, just won the 205 belt for WXC, sucker punch at Adam Trimley. I'm not buying into him.
Well, you guys are attacking WXC, some of their cards, and said, what do you guys think of WXC's cards?
I like
because them. You're talking about their superstars that they're pushing every month. Every
well,
fight.
Jose Johnson's
my problem with WXC right now.
He's getting pushed by everybody, though. Jose Johnson, literally everybody's pushing him. I'm not buying him.
Here's my problem with WXC. You're devaluing your belt because Shamara Shahid is supposed to be your belt, bantamweight champion. Now you're having Jose Johnson fight Trevor Morris for the bantamweight belt.
What happened to
Chimarsha Heat?
DC Carter.
DC Carter has the featherweight belt, and you guys are having Ramos Brown versus Antonio Blasingate.
What happened to DC?
What happened to DC Carter?
He literally had just the belt like, one show ago.
Josh Bruckner and Chaos Williams both share the 170 belt. You guys are devaluing your belts. You're having a belt fight just to have a belt fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the belts are devalued for the simple fact that fighters kind of think once they win their first belt, they're like, oh, I'm going to go chase belts.
It's tough to have them come back and defend them.
And they want to run around, and they get beat up in all these other organizations. So they finally like, hey, can I finally defend my belt? And it's like by the time he comes back to you, he's lost four fights, you know, trying to chase titles. And it's like, oh, who's this guy again? Like, didn't I just see him get knocked out 2 weeks ago or something? It's like your champion's not watered down. I personally think WXC does a pretty good job for on the amateur level. It's just the things that I know behind closed doors that happen that kind of give me a little bitter taste about them. But their fights are actually all their cards are pretty well put together. It's just the fact that they push too much for their champions. Like how
well my other big gripe with them is they hold too many shows,
mm-hmm.
which is why you can't have your guys come back and defend the belts.
No, because the guys that have the belts, you don't even see fighting anywhere else, but they just don't get to keep their belt for some reason. It's like, what's going on here?
Joseph D'Onofrio only holds, what?
Two shows a year, about?
Two, three shows a year, if that. Joe Battaglia only three, four shows a year.
Mm-hmm.
WXC is throwing a show once
a month.
There for a while.
Yeah.
It basically is. KOP does the same thing. And the thing that's impressive, though, with KOP is they'll even throw two shows in 1 month, but somehow their fights still aren't watered down like that.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. What other audio do we got, James, that we
got? Oh, we got one more. This is James Holloway.
Impressive performance. Let's talk about the performance really quick. He kept his hands down the whole fight.
Yep.
Took a couple in the chin, and not only that, ends up with the knockout. What are you guys' thoughts on him?
That's another guy we've trained with, man.
When I first walked into the gym, James Holloway was the first guy I met. Mm-hmm. James Holloway was the first guy that,
okay.
First guy there to, show me the ropes and everything else like that. So James and I have built a kind of a friendship.
Okay.
Whenever I see him, I go and talk to him, see how everything's going. Long neck and back injury that he was out with. And, at first when I seen him with his hands down, I was shocked. I'm like, what is he doing? Because James never fought like that. If you guys have watched the tape on him beforehand, his hands were always up. He was very technical. His head movement was great.
Mm-hmm. Like Neo in the Matrix.
Yeah. Everything. He very rarely got hit. I mean, at one point I seen him like move and then fix his hair. Sidestep. And I'm like, no, he did not just do that.
He pulled the hair out of his face is what he was doing. Yeah.
His demeanor as a person, though, was just completely
changed. If you guys, after he left the gym that I was at, he joined, unfortunately, Jack and Tan, and his demeanor kind of drastically changed.
He was a stripper.
Yeah. He acted exactly like Corey Connor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it got bad. That's
it
why
got bad.
And then I seen him.
And then he left them.
Almost a year later, I seen him. It was at the TXC event recently. The last one, the Legend 6. And then I see him walking in. And he wasn't even going out in the public eye, not doing anything. And I walk up and I'm like, hey, James, how's it going, man? Like, he's like, oh, how's it going? Like, but I'm like, what? Are you eating my soul right now? Like, what is going on?
Well, you got, I mean, so he very, if you've never seen, if intense. You haven't seen him fight, if you haven't seen him fight, like, recently, he has a very zen-like samurai kind of feel to him, and I think I even heard someone yell samurai, but yeah, this even through the interview, like, is exactly what it was like. So you gotta hear the interview here.
All right, this is Jimmy with the undercard. I'm here with James Holloway, who is the winner of the co-main event. James, that was a great fight. How did you prepare for this fight?
Just staying in the moment and at Ultimate Martial Arts and with Sean Cook and with Paz over here to my left.
Excellent. Now, did I hear that you had a fight 2 weeks ago in Hawaii?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago in Hawaii, D'Onofrio messaged me and said he's the one that set it up for me. It was a great opportunity. It was a great time. Yeah.
You have a very unique style of fighting. It's very zen. I think somebody, I heard somebody call you the samurai. How did you develop that style of fighting?
Years and years of sparring and just staying very relaxed, very, very relaxed. And looking at a lot of traditional martial arts and, you know, really focusing on anatomy of the body and alignment of all joints.
Well, it worked because, I mean, you won your fight. Do you have any aspirations of going pro anytime soon?
Yes. I mean, I take myself professional. I take my life professional, but I'm not yet there at that level. I'm always trying to get to the next level. And when we all feel that I'm ready for the pro level and I'm ready to perform at that level, we'll take the jump and hopefully compete for a world title one day.
All right. Well, congratulations. It was a great fight. Okay, you had one last thing to say?
Yeah, the fight was no big deal. You know, the main part of the fight was I just wanted to get on the mic and express on how much I love this man to my left right here, how much I love this man right here to my left as well, and all the people that give me their focus and support. You know, that's what I've been waiting for.
And if I could interject, everybody says, you know, they look at James' style of fighting, and James and I are very close. And if you look at a style of fighting, one thing that we practice and we really maintain a strong mental. We're three times as strong mental as we are physical, and we're strong physical. But our mental strength is what makes us different than other schools and other styles that train. That's what gives us the edge. And as you saw him in the cage, I mean, very zen, very, very strong-willed, very focused. A lot of mental strength in the training, not just physical.
All right. Well, congratulations. It was a great fight, and I look forward to seeing you again.
He almost lulled you to sleep in that interview.
Well, I know. Well, that was, I mean, like, both of them, both him and his trainer, they were just very mellow.
James has a very soothing voice.
Yeah.
Who do you guys want to see James fight next? Yeah. See, I don't think he's pro ready.
Everyone.
Everyone, just everybody.
What did you say?
Have you guys seen his ground game yet?
I haven't.
His ground game is phenomenal.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
I was waiting for him to take Frettenborough down. Because he's always had good striking.
But he didn't need to.
But I was.
But when he caught Frettenborough and Frettenborough went down, he just stood there and was like.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. He just stood there. He didn't move. He just pushed his hair out of his way. He had that, you know, man top knot thing going on. And just pushed his hair out of the way and just waited.
He wanted you to know his guard was down, too. I mean, it was just such an exaggerated, like.
I know. It was so. I can't think of another time I've seen a style of fighting in a cage like that.
And the weird thing is we've trained with him, you know, since the beginning.
Yeah.
4 years, 5 years ago we started, you know what I mean? We trained with him. And it's only been about a year and a half, 2 years since, you know, we've been around him. And it's changed dramatically. Almost a year he took off. He was off for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he started training again about a year ago. And as we said, he was a jacked and tanned fighter, dude.
Yeah.
To the T, his attitude, you know, everything. And he just changed completely. His attitude, his looks, everything. She wants to say, you should have seen him when he was clean shaven. Even I said,
clean shaven and jacked. He was the only jacked one out of the group.
Especially
James Holloway, man dime.
He used to wear the really short shorts.
Agreed.
I was like,
Agreed.
No, but we're talking about like
two years ago
before he had all the scruff and the long hair.
Yeah.
Long hair is a turn off for me.
Can I grapple with James?
Please, it's my turn. I swear.
Does he get the sploosh?
Sploosh.
Never mind. Oh, it's an Archer reference.
Oh. Okay, like we watched that.
Yeah. I thought maybe she did.
No.
Apparently not.
But the very first thing is I loved about as soon as you won that fight is Phil Davis trying to ask him a question. He's just like, oh, it was great. I just love everybody. And it's like
he makes him sound effeminate.
He's like, you did win. Like, you should be proud of yourself.
And right.
He doesn't. Nobody knows how to. Because back in the day, he would have went on a whole rant of just like Reenie did. Like, I'm the best. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is old. This is old James right here.
Liz. Oh, Liz just showing you a picture of old James.
Yeah, we just looked at that picture.
Oh, it went blank. It went blank.
You know my password.
No, SIM card removed? What the hell?
You broke my phone.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, I restarted it.
That's fine.
Okay. We like the new Zetterberg looking James Holloway.
James Holloway broke your phone, is what just happened. It was just like malfunction.
He reached through and just went and just crushed it.
We got to cover a couple more subjects here. I want to give a hero of the week out to Teddy Atlas. He was in Timothy Bradley's corner.
Fireman speech. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm going to try to play it here. One of the greatest speeches I've ever heard in a corner from a TV. About Timothy Bradley as he was giving it to Brandon Rios. We switched topics to boxing for anybody out there. But really quickly,
I'm sorry, that was me. Okay. Here, do you want to play it on the – you can play it on here, the audio.
Oh, you have it?
No, I'm saying I thought you did.
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh,
I was just going to do it like this because I don't know. But let's see if we can hear it, and we'll go from there.
I got a secret to tell you. Didn't I tell you the rounds would fly if you concentrate? Did I tell you? I told you the rounds would fly by if you concentrate, right? All you got is 15 minutes. Can you be strong for 15 minutes? Can you? Listen, your concentration is weaving a little bit. Pick it up. Pick it up! Okay. Don't pull straight out. Bend your knees and be strong on the inside. Go around them. Let's control the outside. Look, the fire's coming. Are you ready for the fire? We're firemen. Okay. We are firemen! The heat doesn't bother us. We live in the heat. We train in the heat. It tells us that we're ready. We're at home. We're where we're supposed to be. Flames don't intimidate us. What do? We control the flame. We control them. We move the flame where we want to. And then we extinguish them.
Yeah,
it makes me want to fight.
Yeah, I know.
I will say, I almost stood up and punched Bobby in the face just now.
That was Teddy Atlas telling Timothy Bradley to pick it up. That was his first time in Timothy Bradley's corner. Timothy Bradley gets his first knockout, I believe, in 8 years against Brandon Rios. Really quickly about Brandon Rios, he's going to call it quits, it looks like. Pretty much the weight cutting of his career and the way his style, that kind of caught up to him. At the end, he said that his body wasn't just responding anymore after taking some time off in the camps and stuff like that. So we wish Brandon Rios, who gave us our heart and we got to follow him for a lot of times, we wish him the best of luck in retirement. And Timothy Bradley, looks like he might get another shot at Manny Pacquiao. It would be Manny Pacquiao, Timothy Bradley 3. And, you know, who knows where Manny Pacquiao is in his career and everything like that. Our other hero is Donofrio for throwing such a great event. I think that some people that we know that were first-timers to an event are now AMI MMA fans. And they were messaging me.
I know Barnes
me.
Is.
They were messaging me where to find more amateur MMA.
Yeah.
So he gets the hero.
Fix.
Yeah, exactly. They saw it and they want more.
I need more.
So,
I just want to see Zami's punch each other in the face, man. One time.
Let's thank our guest, Cage in the Cave. Where can they find you again? I know it's Cave Radio, but give a shout out to your Facebook and give a shout out to your show.
You want to go, Bobby?
Yeah, it'll be on CaveRadioBroadcasting.com Sundays from 10 a.m. till noon.
Or Cave Radio Sports.
Or Cave Radio Sports. We're re-aired on Thursday at what time?
6 to 8.
6 to 8.
But it might actually be Tuesday 6 to 8. I'm not sure. I think it is Thursday. I'm not sure. Keys put up some weird thing. But we also have the Cave Radio app you can download and listen to us live. Cave Radio, one word, on the Google Play Store, the Apple iOS. Other than that, you can find us on Facebook at Cage in the Cave. And on Twitter, which is barely ever used for a show because...
You're supposed to use that.
Yeah, I just don't like social media. I'm not very social. I don't like people. So it's like, I'm going to go fucking talk to people. I don't want you following me.
And we, of course, are the Undercard, and we're broadcasting from PodcastDetroit.com above the Activate 8 studio.
Active 8.
Activate yes. studio. Falling Down Bear Company. Thank you
One
very
of our
much.
Sponsors, yep.
And Liz for being a ring girl tonight, our guest. Anthony Michael, too, if I didn't give a shout out to, and Rochelle for working the board. We'll see everybody next Tuesday. Thank you very much for joining us, guys.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.